I'd like to ask if you'd turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. I'm sure you heard about the minister. We have communion, so we want to give us time for communion. But I'm sure you've heard about the minister who delivered his sermon in 10 minutes. And it was a Sunday morning. That's about half of his usual time that he took to deliver a sermon. So he explained, I regret to inform you this morning that I was only able to give you half of the message because my dog is very fond of paper and he ate all the notes of my sermon in the second half, so that's all I can give you this morning. So after the service, he's standing at the front door shaking hands, and a stranger who was visiting the church walked up to him and said, "Preacher, if that dog of yours has puppies, I want one for our minister." So we're going to make the message short so we can enjoy worship and just sitting before the Holy Spirit as we take communion. Psalm 126, verse 1. And as you're there, just to save a little time, I'll give you a moment to go hold your place there, and we're going to look at a second verse right after that, Jeremiah chapter 29. So those are going to be the two places that we will be looking at. Jeremiah is to the right of Psalm 126, not too far away. This message is entitled, After the Fire. What comes after fires? What comes after tragedy and pain and suffering in your life? Can it ever get to be any better? Can it never return to normalcy? What's after the fires? Now follow along first with me in Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream their inner days. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. And then said among the heathen, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south, that they sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and bringing his sheaves with him." I'd like you to join me now and read it out loud. Very short, six verses. And let it impact you now. Take it more personally than hearing somebody read it to you. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Father, we would pray for this time of laughter that we see the Jews having. And as we've gone through a time of fires throughout our community of suffering and crying, in brokenness, we would pray that you would turn it to a time of laughing. And we'd like to see how these people could be people of laughter after they've been persecuted so severely. Help make us strong through the fires of our lives, that we can see your hand in them for the good. In Jesus' name, amen. 70 years throughout the Old Testament was prophesied for two things. One, as we'll see this Wednesday night, the return of Jesus Christ would come at the end of a 70-year fulfillment of prophecy, mostly found in the book of Daniel. There would be also a 70-year prophecy to be fulfilled, according to the book of Jeremiah, that Israel would be taken captive into the north, into Iraq, by Babylon and by Nebuchadnezzar, and they would live there for 70 years. A whole generation would be raised up with a Babylonian worldly influence and return. When you read this psalm, it's an amazing psalm because the Jewish leaders did not want to believe or accept the prophecies that they would have to stay in captivity. And their religious mind said, "God wouldn't do this to us. We wouldn't have to ever be uncomfortable. No, God's a God of positive confession. I just say it and I get it. No, God's a God of wealth. God's a God that wants me to be comfortable. He wants me to live high or large. God isn't a God that would make me accountable." And so they found it very hard to listen to Jeremiah. They tried to murder him. The second book after, the first book after Jeremiah, but the second in Jeremiah's prophecies, of course, is called Lamentations. And that's the same young man that is weeping and crying because the message he has is so raw on his heart, but he sees the people aren't listening. They really don't care. And so he weeps when he gives the message. So they called him the crying prophet. And his heart was so broken for God. So now if you'll turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, we'll see what is the difference here. Why are they singing here? These are the words, chapter 29 of Jeremiah, of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of those who were carried away captive, their prisoners, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king and queen mother, and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, the smiths, had all departed from Jerusalem. Basically, it's telling us that anybody that was illiterate or didn't have education or any abilities was left behind after the forests had been devastated, the rivers polluted, and there was no way to live if you were still remaining. They only wanted the cream of the crop, and so they took them into captivity. So if the non-producers in our society be the druggies and the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and the gamblers and people that just don't go anywhere with their life, they wouldn't be useful for anything. So King Nebuchadnezzar is wise enough to continue his empire, just like the devil's saying to continue his empire in San Diego. He wants to get the cream of the crop, and the rest of them can just all go to hell. And so he just seduces. We all have been lured and seduced by Babylon. We've been led away to what we think is a higher way of living because we're cool. But fire, just like we've seen in our own county, is going to touch our hearts someday. And you want to be purified and you want to be refined. So what happens after the fire? These people are going away for 70 years. And he says right here in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, they took the cream of the crop. This happened after the king and everybody left. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan. And Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom the king Zedekiah of Judah sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, to the king, saying these words, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." God will always have a prophet in the midst of anything going on. And the prophet will be fearless because his life is no longer his. And if you will always hold on to the Bible, you'll always have a prophet in your midst. Every morning when you wake up, every afternoon when you're weary, every night before your head hits the pillow, the prophet is going to talk to you. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all were carried away captive, whom I have caused, notice that God caused this, I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Some of the situations we find ourselves in, God has caused it to happen to get our attention. Listen to what he tells him. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives of your sons and then give your daughters to husbands. So now there's another generation raising up. They're going to be there a long time. So that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Realize there's no abortion. The diminishing of a society is its destruction. When you don't keep multiplying, that society is wiped off the face of the earth. And we know by 2050, the majority of European nations have lost the fertility rate that allows a nation to go forward. Spain, Portugal, Germany, France, they all realize they're in the 1.3 babies per couples or childbearing women. America, for some reason, with all the wickedness we have done, we're right at 2%, and we can pull out of the nosedive. We go below it, we're done. It's one of the things he said. Even in the midst of the bad times, you want to keep standing with marriage. You want the reproductive systems to be used for marriage for the purpose of multiplying and replenishing the earth, not for perversion and wickedness and hung up people. You go to this land, you're held prisoner, judgment has come upon you, God has caused the judgment, God has brought you into captivity, but you need to focus on your family and your sons and your daughters. You marry them off to they so they are able to have sons and daughters and do not diminish. So he said, and seek the peace of this city. This is something I've lived by ever since I've been in San Diego. Seek the peace of the city where I have taken you and carried you away captive. And pray to the Lord for this city, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. It's easy to listen to business gurus and success gurus and go to all sorts of conferences and listen to really clever words that have been thought over and meticulously put together, and then the speaker walks away and makes $100,000 for speaking to everybody. They're clever prophets that God has not sent. Every principle of life, from business to raising a baby, is found in the Holy Scriptures. God shows us how to live because he created us. And you must be very cautious to the prophets that you listen to in your music. They may be rappers with a philosophy that you're listening to. They can be singers. They can be entertainers. It could be, I like this director, and the reason you like the director of his movies or her movies is simply because of the one-liners that you don't even realize that are prophecies in your mind that you're living by that are lies. They're, I'll tell you, shimeis. And you'll see why. So don't let your families be diminished. For thus saith the Lord God, verse 10, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You may want to underline this one. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you a future and a hope. That's God's thoughts. Those are definitely not the devil's thoughts towards you. They may not be your boss's thoughts towards you or the investor's thoughts towards you, but that's God's thought towards you. He wants to give you peace. He does not want to hurt you. He wants to bless you. I was crying so hard Friday coming from the airport back to my house and just groaning like I'd never groaned before in my life. Just the pain and the struggle, fighting with the flesh, fasting and recovering from surgeries and trying to take on 33 years of work that started to collapse and get things going again. And I just thought it was all over with. I couldn't see despair so deep. And my cell phone rang, and I couldn't see Freeway 5. And I answered, as my wife from Florida. Boy, God knows how to speak to you, through you, to the ones you trust the most. I sat in my garage. I was crying so hard, I could not get out of my car. Just weeping and crying and saying, why, God? Why can't people see? Why aren't they involved in you? They're so involved in the world. And yet they think they're yours. I'd give anything for all of you just to be glowing and on fire so much that there wouldn't be one thing in San Diego that would be enticing or alluring to you. That just to know him and to be conformed into his image would be the thing that you'd want above all things. To just love him and to praise him. And going to a concert would never outtake your church kneeling and fasting and praying. Going to a movie would never be number one over sitting with other people that you say, I go to that church. You are that church. The concept of what Christianity is so shallow because they don't know the Christ that spells it out. I pray for all of you that if God has to take you captive into a foreign land, you'll learn your lessons. 70 years, I will come back. I knew of a man that his father wanted to make him tough when he was a little boy. And they took him hunting and left the little boy in the woods and said, you have 2 hours to find your way back out. That isn't the way I'd want to train my children, and that isn't the way I think that the Lord would want to train children. Now, if you're going to be a Special Forces, Navy SEAL, Army Ranger, I understand that kind of training. But God doesn't just drop you off in this hellhole called San Diego or California or America or the planet and then just say, find your way back. This is survival. And if you win, you get a free trip to Disneyland and you'll be an American Idol. No, he says, I am with you. I'll never forsake you nor leave you. I will hold you by the right hand. And some of you have just woken up to the fact that you've been in captivity. And yeah, the fires are gone, but the pain and the suffering, the clarity of thought still have not returned. I'll come back at 70 years. This can be a long lesson for this nation to make you who I want you to be. I think that since you don't want me to be king, a wicked guy like Nebuchadnezzar will give you some contrast of what a real loving king is. So God gives you contrasts. And he allows us to see white and black, light and darkness, good and evil, night and day, fun and trouble. He lets us contrast a friend and an enemy. Someone that loves us and somebody that manipulates us and uses us. He gives us all these contrasts so we can see that I am the Lord thy God who never changes. He is the one that dwells in a light that never changes and it's unapproachable by man. He is the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness. It's not bright. I went to Albertsons and I bought 3 lamplights. I went and put them in the lamps last night. It's amazing. You can turn it and it's dim and you can click it again and it's medium and you can click it again and you can read. 3-way lights, they call them. What a fantastic deal. So I had them all cranked up and I thought, probably save me more money if I turned it down to the 40 and took it off the 100 because I'm not going to be in that room. But when I come in there and read, I'll crank it up to the 100. You know, some of you have been at 40 for so long, you forgot there's a bright light out there and that you can see more if you would trust him. So these people need to learn trust. He told him, no, get involved. You're going to be there a long time. If I know thy thoughts, which I think towards you, then he goes on to say, then you're going to call upon me. And when you go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, then you'll seek me and find me. When you search with me with all of your heart, all of your heart. God has a hope and a future for you, a complete hope and future for you. You see, there are many people in our lives that probably don't belong in our lives. And as these people are there, and you read the rest of this chapter, they turn against Jeremiah for telling them this. They say to the king, why don't you kill Jeremiah? Did you hear what he said? He said, we're going to be here 70 years. Those are horrible words. We don't want to hear those kind of words. We want to hear words of prosperity and stock market going up and real estate prices booming and we want gas prices down. And why? We didn't listen to God when they were like that. You know, in Jeremiah, it actually says in the Living Bible, there's a verse there. It says that we have to pay for our water and our fuel prices are exorbitant. And how many of us drink bottled water? We pay for our water and we pull into a service station. It's $75 to $100 to fill up the car. We're right where they were before they were taken away for 70 years by their enemies. You see, we weren't happy with God when everything was well. So he's going to show us, are we going to be happy with him when things aren't going well? He's trying to get us to be stable. That I love the Lord, my God, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength, and I love you as I love myself. When we get to that place, God can work some great miracles. You see, in verse 29, it tells us why that psalm came around. Now, Zephaniah, the priest, had a letter, had written the letter, and read it in the hearing of Jeremiah the prophet. And then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah to refute this letter. Send to all those in captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shimei, because Shimei has prophesied to you, and I haven't sent him to you. I had somebody say the other day, da 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 da. And I was really hungry when they said da 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 da. And I knew that this person had just had something to eat. So I thought, I'm going to ask this person a question. Are these the words of God that you're speaking to me right now? What do you mean? Well, you're acting very strong and powerful and confident right now. Are these the words? Are you speaking God's words to me as a human being? Well, and it intimidated him because of my position. But that was okay. I was hungry. So I said to him, just tell me. Because if this is God, I'm spending this week listening very closely to God. No, I just think. And I said, no, you don't just think. You're repeating something that you heard from somebody else that was spreading a rumor. And you're in the rumor mill. And you're seeking the Lord. You see, there are a lot of Shimeis in your life. That if you stopped and thought of the decisions you are making are based because somebody was close to you that you thought was authoritative, or that they had some power over you, or they were able to just get you to see things a little differently, but all along they've manipulated you. They're Shimeis. And you might mentally want to just make a checklist. There is a Shimei in my life. I did do this because they told me to. You didn't seek the Lord about it. You just did it. You didn't pray about it. You just went and did it because Shimei told you to do it. And God says through the prophet, Shimei was not sent by me and he does not speak my word. So this is what's going to take place. Shimei has prophesied to you and I have not sent him. And he has caused you to trust in a lie. That's kind of frightening. But how often I've done it and you've done it that we've trusted in a lie. We've believed the input before we would believe God. We acted on the input without even seeking the Lord, without ever fasting or praying and saying, this is a serious decision. Lord, is this you? And boy, do the Shimeis of this world pop up when your life is on the line. And they're going to try to give you so much input that it just dulls you out. They're going to twist your arm and they're going to push you and they're going to sound like they're authorities in any given situation. And you're going to make a decision trusting in the lie instead of saying humbly, oh, Father, is this true? I'm going to be here 70 years. You actually want me to build a house in Babylon where the pagans are? And you want me to get my business up and running? And you want to reconstruct everything from this fire, but you want to do it differently in my life than you ever did before? But oh God, I feel the flames of the fire and I'll do whatever you say. But oh no, not these people. Kill the prophet. Kill him. Get rid of him. We don't want to hear truth. You see, you can move the Shimeis out of your fires, but when the fires of life come down, the tribulations and the struggles can be just like in Psalm 126. We can laugh. Why? Because Psalm 126 is the fulfillment of Jeremiah 29:10. Did you know that? Because Jeremiah 29:10, God says, I shall come in 70 years. He's going to release them. This is that group of people that have been through the fire. They've been through the testing. They've had the sicknesses and the illnesses and the bankruptcies. And they've had all the pressures of losing everything and still hanging on to the hem of his garment. And they have found out that God is faithful. While all their friends say, oh, I'm going to compromise with Babylon. Oh, no, I'm going to intermarry. Oh, no, I'm going to abort. Oh, no, I'm going to get drunk at these. Oh, the Babylonian barbecues. Oh, Friday night. Oh, they're to die for. And many of them did. You know, to say that they're one of God's kids in this place, the Babylon became a place of refining to see who's who in the zoo. And the pressures you feel is to find out of who's who in the zoo. One, for you to see these are Shimeis in my life and they're weak and spineless. And two, God is still in my life as weak as I am, but he's still here. You're being refined. It's that simple. Concerning these doubting people, how could they ever respond like David wrote? When the Lord turned again, he released us. The captivity of Zion, the Jews, he's turned it from Babylon. He's heading them back to Israel. We were like them that dream. It was just too much to behold that this could happen. 70 years, our grandpas have died. How could this be? It's just like we're in a great dream right now. Just a beautiful dream. Then was our mouth filled with Bud Light. Mr. Zigzag, Caribbean 3, any distraction you can put in there. No, their mouth was filled with laughter. Their mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. Then he said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them, in verse 2 of Psalm 126. The heathen look at God's people and say, wow, they have really gone through it. And look how happy they are. And they're released. You know why they were saying that? It's just like what you see today. When the troops leave Iraq or Babylon and come back to America, the people of that area are going to say, why are they leaving? Look at them. They're going back to prosperity. These people have a joy in them and they came here to serve us. You don't see that on the news. You don't see all the hospitals and the hundreds of thousands of people that have been medically treated for free, and the cancer patients and the burn patients and the little boys and girls that have had broken arms and legs, and the deaf and the mute and the blind that have been treated. You haven't seen the thousands and thousands of students and the books and the textbooks and the teachers that have been trained and the kids that are in classrooms right now. You don't see that on the news that your tax dollars have paid for, that the love of God is still flowing out of America. And there's just a bunch of goofballs in the middle of it called officials that want the glory for it. And if they don't get the glory for it, they whine and they jump up and down and they're shimmy eyes. They're prophesying. This is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. And God is saying, I didn't send you and you have perverted your place of authority. This is how it's going to be. Those people that are called by my name that will seek my face and humble themselves and pray, I shall hear them in heaven. That's who. And my people who give to my work are the people who are going to have the heavens windows opened up, and I will pour out a blessing upon them that they will not be able to contain it. But if you keep robbing God, you're going to have more shimeis and you're going to have an extended stay in Babylon. Get out of Babylon, die to yourself, let go of the things of this world and get into God's kingdom, because it's getting ready to rain and the ark is going to rise. And all of you animals that hear him calling you, you better get on board, because it's almost finished. While the average child laughs 150 times a day, according to the University of Michigan researchers, the average adult only laughs 15. Can you not see why the children's programs, their cartoons and everything, are violent and wicked and evil? Can you not see why pedophilia is a huge crime across our country? Can you not see why children are being kidnapped and abused and just downtrodden, and the education systems are collapsing around them? The shimmy eyes of this world want to stop that laughter of 150 times and quit letting you. You wonder why I'm not like a kid, you say to yourself. You're probably laughing less than 15 times a day. When you and I were boys and girls, we laughed about everything. You could drop a 100-pound brick on our best friend's toe and we would laugh. You could drop a bowling ball on their head and we would laugh. But we'd all run over to them and hug them, wouldn't we? And we'd get Miss Jones or Mr. Smith, the playground monitor, to get over there and help them. But we would, did you see that golf ball hit him right in the eye? Well, man, that was the grossest thing. But we would laugh. Man, to get anybody to laugh today, it's amazing. The laughter's gone, folks. We're in Babylon. They don't laugh. War and destruction is going on in Babylon. You forgot what it was like to be a kid because you forgot who your God was. Your God's a happy God. Your God's not a miserable God. He has a hope for you and a future for you. But if you want to keep financing your own future and your own hope and going your own way and listening to your own shimmies, he's just going to take that handful on that narrow path and bless them. And you're going to miss it. Are you laughing more than 15 times a day? Well, you may be up to seventh grade. Start slowing down about then. I don't know if you read in The Anatomy of an Illness as Perceived by the Patient, but Norman Cousin tells us in that book of being hospitalized with this rare crippling disease. And when he is diagnosed as incurable, Norman Cousin's checked out of the hospital. He said, I can stay in the hospital. And aware of the harmful effects that negative emotions can have on the body, Cousins reasoned the reverse was true. So he borrowed a movie projector and he prescribed his own treatment. I'm not going to die in some stupid hospital. And he got these movies and he ran them all day at his house, Marx Brothers films and old Candid Camera reruns. I would throw in the old Inspector Clouseau videos. It didn't take long for him to discover something. This is true. And many of you have read Norman Cousins and his books and his writings. He discovered that 10 minutes of laughter provided 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, his debilitating disease was eventually reversed, and it went away. And after the account of this victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative doctors and physicians throughout the world. Thank you for reminding us. Hey, come on, we got to start laughing. We do. We got to start laughing, or you're going to go through that divorce. You got to keep on laughing, or you're going to go and file that bankruptcy. You're going to believe the lies of Shimei, that you're a loser. You don't have it in you. You can't happen. But God is saying, I know my thoughts towards you. They're not painful thoughts or hurtful thoughts. I have good thoughts, thoughts of peace with hope and a future. Get back into his word and get back to giving and serving him. You see, the fires of life bring the trials and the testings of life. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, but God gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud. And maybe you're proud this morning, but he gives grace to the humble. Jeremiah was humble. Shimei was proud. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Don't submit yourself to the Dish Network or DirecTV or to your Xbox or to your video games or whatever your pleasures are. Don't submit to those things. Submit to the Holy Ghost. Resist the devil. Don't dance with the devil. If you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw close to God. Don't get away from God. He'll draw close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double mind. God, world, God, world. No, get rid of that double mindedness. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself. That's what this whole week of prayer and fasting was. You just go down into the depths and you see your soul. It scares you to death that there'll be moanings and groanings and utterances, as it says in the book of Romans, that you can't even speak. It's the Spirit inside of you making intercession. I'd never gone that deep. I've been in a lot of situations, but the last 6-7 months have been worse. And I just went and laid down on a bench in my backyard. I was just laying there, and all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, I felt somebody stroking the side of my head, crying, and my heart just broken. And it was the Good Shepherd. He said, my son, you've been critically wounded in spiritual warfare, and you're still trying to limp along. And I'll give you the strength. I'm with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. And I thought, oh, this is my mind playing stupid tricks on me again. My son, you're a critically wounded warrior. You need to heal and come back into the battle. And then I remembered Elijah sitting under a broom bush. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here? And he's exhausted and he fell asleep. And the angel nudged him and he woke up and he said, here, take, eat, rise, and go, for the journey ahead is a long one. Phew. You think you're tired in running with a horseman, it's now time to start running with the horses. If you think it's hard to finance a new parking lot or a remodel on a silly little junior campus and you can't afford it in your tithes and offerings, get ready for what's coming. Are we robbing God? Are we holding back from what God wants to do in our lives? Do we really love God, or is it the concept we like that when we're in trouble, we can run to him and then maybe take part of Shimei's philosophies and part of Jesus' philosophies? Can't do it. We're all going to heaven. We're all going there. After a long illness, this lady died. She arrives at the gates of heaven. Everything she thought of, the light was so bright. While waiting, St. Peter greeted her, and she peeked through the gates. She saw right through the gates, and you wouldn't believe what she saw. She saw this beautiful banquet table off to the side, beautiful candelabras and pure crystal glasses. And sitting at that table, she couldn't believe it was the people she had loved all of her life since she was a little girl, leading up to her aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and mom and dad and grandmas and grandpas. They were all there, and they were sitting, and the table was empty at one spot at the head for her. They were waiting for her, and they all turned around, and they saw her on the outside of the gates, waiting, and they all started smiling and waving at her. Said, we're so glad to see you. We're waiting for you. We're going to rejoice as soon as you come in. And then Peter came over and he said, "I'm so sorry, I'm so busy today. Such a wonderful place. How do I get in, St. Peter?" And says, "Well, you just have to spell a single word. That's all you have to do." I said, "No kidding, what is that word?" And he said, "Spell the word love." So she spells it, L-O-V-E. Peter says, "Great, go and enjoy your heaven and all your family and friends." And boy, the love that was pouring on her and the new body that was given to her and her mom, dad, grandparents, cousins, nieces, nephews, boyfriends that she used to have in junior high and people that she worked with, they were all there loving each other. So Peter came over after 6 months, said, "You know, you've been here a little bit of time, and I need to ask you a favor. Could you watch the gates for me? We have a whole group of people coming in a couple hours, and I need to help them all get in, and I need an assistant. Would you just stand there and watch the gates till I say they can come in?" "Oh, absolutely." So while the woman was guarding the gates, her husband arrived. And she was actually surprised to see this old dude. She was shocked that he was standing at the gates. She said, "I'm surprised to see you. How have you been?" And the guy says, "Oh, I've been doing really well since you died. I married this beautiful young nurse who took care of you at the hospital while you were ill. And then I won the lottery. And then I sold that little house you and I lived in and bought a big mansion with my young, beautiful wife. And my wife and I traveled all around the world. We were on vacation. I went water skiing one day and I fell. And well, the ski hit my head and here I am. How do I get in?" "Well, you have to spell a word," the woman said. "Oh, great, what word?" She looked at him and said, "Czechoslovakia." "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one gets into heaven except by me, saith the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn this world, but that this world through him might be saved. Herein is the condemnation," Jesus said, "that men actually love darkness more than they love light." That's tragic. They like to listen to the Shimeis more than they do to the Holy Spirit scriptures. They love darkness more than they love the light, and they won't come to the light lest their deeds be reproved because they're evil. But herein is condemnation, that they have denied. That's it. It's not going to be a spelling bee. It's just going to be you and your heart surrendered to Jesus. As the gentlemen come up to service communion, and we close the message, we just need to come closer to him after the fires. And not listen to anybody, but to the Word of God and get to know him. A Southern Baptist minister was completing a temperance sermon on keeping away from alcohol. And it was a fiery hell damnation message down south. And with great emphasis, this preacher stands on his tiptoes and says, "If I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and I'd pour it into the river." With greater emphasis, he said, "And if I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and I'd pour it into the river." And then finally, shaking his fist in the air, he shouts out, "And if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd take it and I'd pour it into the river." The sermon complete, he sits down on the platform, and then the choir leader, the song leader, stood very cautiously and a little timid, and he announced with a smile, "This is the song that was chosen for the closing today. Would you stand with me for our closing song? Let us all sing hymn number 365, Shall We Gather at the River?" You know, it's been so long since I've had wine, beer, or whiskey, and I was thinking the other day, well, if I just got a beer right now, that'd be okay. It's liquid, isn't it, Lord? Man, the temptations. I mean, I could get one of those light beers I see on television. They're light, aren't they, Lord? I mean, the temptations that get thrown at you when you're really trying to get close to the Lord. But you know what? If I had a beer, it'd have to be two. If it were two, it'd have to be a six-pack. And for a six-pack, I'd have to sit down and watch something on a sports channel, and it'd have to be 12-pack. You don't want me doing that. God doesn't want me doing that. I don't want me doing that. I'd rather take that 12-pack and take that money and get the grass in for the kids next door in their playground. Let's don't go to the river for the wrong reason. Let's go to the river of the Lord's love that is flowing day and night. Father, as we take this cup and this bread, may you bless us with your presence. In remembrance of the body that was broken on the cross, we humbly ask you to overcome the temptations of our flesh. We humbly ask you to minister to our souls. Father, would you do a miracle for my friends and brothers and sisters? Show them the shimeis around them that are lying to them, even using prophetic terminology or biblical Christian terminology and mingling it with psychology and pop thought and success orientation. Lord, strip us of everything if necessary. For we know that the day we leave these bodies, we will be stripped of everything. Prepare us. Let our hearts sense what Jesus has really done as we take this bread. And as we hold the precious cup in our hand and we worship and wait for everyone to be served, speak to us of the river that flows, the river of life, pure, crystal clear. No chemicals or fluoride in it. With trees on both sides for the healing of the nation coming from the leaves and a different fruit. For the fruit of November, could you just bring it out of our lives today, and may the leaves of November heal us right now. May we come that thirst and drink freely from this river and find life everlasting. We're so sorry, God, that Babylon has captured many of our family in the body of Christ. That entertainment takes precedence over godly disciplines. Help us. Bless us. Speak to us. And Father, tell us of these thoughts you have about us and our future. Give us some hope. The fires are over. Tell us what you really have and bless us with laughter. In Jesus' name, amen.